When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card. The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Hello everyone and welcome back to a brand new video where today we return with episode 112 of your favourite Formula One show. Knowing Wheel heads to Miami this weekend. We've got the neon lights, we've got the very interesting graphics released by the Formula One teams and Formula One themselves. And of course I'm joined by a man who is no stranger to the neon lights, not so often in Miami. Maybe some other cities closer to home. Jamie183, how are you doing, mate?
I'm good. I'm very good, thank you. Yeah, never been to America before. But Miami, I don't know if we've got any fake water this year, but that would be...
No, it's real.
Oh, it's real water. Wow. Yeah. I can't wait for somebody to end up in that. Whether they're in a car or not, I'm not sure. But yeah, it should be a okay event. Last year, it was a bit of... It was fun, but not fully exhilarating. But we should wait and see.
Yeah, going to be an interesting one this weekend as, of course, we head to Miami. But, you know, quick little bit of housekeeping as well before we dive into this. There's going to be a lot of podcasts over the next few weeks. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of videos if you're here watching on YouTube. So if you don't want to miss any of the shows, make sure you go give us a follow on Spotify or our Apple podcast down in the description below. But Jamie, I think the most exciting thing, wasn't it, we were looking forward to this week was Red Bull. Of course, they're going to be running three custom liveries this year at all three US Grand Prix, aren't they? Yeah. And we got the reveal of the first one.
We have. And it's nice, but it's not that different, which I don't think we expected anything hugely different. But if you've not seen it, go search up a picture. It's basically the Red Bull livery with a few, like, three stripes that look a bit similar to the Mercedes Petronas stripes, but they're different colours. So... yeah, it's okay. It's a fun little thing for Miami, I guess. And the stripes are the same colour as all of the event's branding, which is quite a nice touch.
The blue and purple.
But I do feel like they they probably went through the list and were like, right, which of these uses the least paint so we can save weight?
Pretty much. That was the vibe I was getting from it as well. I mean, hopefully. I mean, I want them to rock up to COTA later on in the year with, rather than a bull, like a bald eagle on the engine cover or something like that. Just like someone slaps it up with American flags and stickers and all that good stuff. That would be quite cool. But yeah, that was kind of like the big excitement heading to the weekend. Of course, last time out, Baku... I think, putting it lightly, left a lot to be desired. And, of course, that was mainly due to the shorter DRS zones they're going to be featuring in Azerbaijan. Of course, they were reduced by 100 metres. Miami saw very little overtaking last year, and they're planning to make both DRS zones 75 metres shorter.
Right, interesting. I didn't actually know that. But, yeah, the race last year was... it was just a bit weird, wasn't it? It was like, we could all tell the track is not exactly set up for wheel-to-wheel racing, just because of the nature of it. Like, you've got all the fast-flowing corners, which are quite hard to follow in Sector 1, and then you had the midsection is all really slow corners that kind of, if cars were close together, that really does split them up, especially the really, really slow chicane just before the long straight. And then the last sector is actually okay with two straights and a little technical bit between them. But yeah, it's not exactly built for racing, this track, I don't feel, which is kind of understandable given it's in a city, especially a city like Miami. But I'm here to be surprised. You never know. Last year it was an okay race. We obviously had the little battle for the lead. He had a few more things going on down the pack as well. So yeah, we should wait and see, though I'm slightly apprehensive that it'll be another Red Bull dominant show.
Yeah, I don't think any of us are going to likely bet away from that. But, I mean, last year's race was really saved, wasn't it, by Pierre Gasly and Lando Norris are having quite a weird incident. However, and I'm sure by saying this, it's not going to happen, there are thunderstorms predicted for Sunday. I feel like Miami has got the weird potential to deliver an absolute banger of a race, but it's just going to take a long time.
Well, especially in the wet. If it rains, I'm fully there for it. I think Miami is going to be race of the season if it's wet. So
you're going out on a limb and saying if Miami's wet, it's going to be race of the season.
Definitely, yeah.
You're just trying to fuel the shorts content, aren't you?
Every week, you just sing me a little fiver. I'll say something ridiculous for the short. There you go.
Fair enough. That's why I bring you on the podcast anyway, mate. Just to say something ridiculous. Nico Hulkenberg, the top 10 driver. Whatever next.
He's top 10 in the championship. What are you talking about?
Yeah, but still, good car. I mean, looking, though, like we said, of course, towards Miami, the big talk as well, going back to Red Bull, is apparently Azerbaijan didn't show off their car's strengths particularly, and they should be more dominant here. That scares me.
That's concerning. I don't know who said that, but Baku was, I mean, they won by 20 seconds to the next car, and I heard Toto Wolff say he thought they were actually pushing. Like, he was more optimistic that realistically they're half a second a lap off in race pace, because you had 40 laps and they ended up 20 seconds ahead, and they were obviously, Max and Checo were racing each other the whole time, so they were actually pushing quite hard. So the half second a lap on race pace doesn't sound like insurmountable, but if that's not reflective of their true pace, then that's a worry for the likes of Mercedes Ferrari and Aston Martin, sorry.
Yeah. I mean, I can understand why you got Aston Martin and Red Bull there muddled up, but
yeah,
interesting, isn't it? I think it's going to be a very, very telling weekend in Miami. You know, I mean, looking back, actually, funnily enough, I remember this week, last year's Miami Grand Prix, Jamie, do you remember Mercedes were actually quickest throughout free practice?
I didn't remember that, actually. They were behind Bottas most of the race in the Alfa Romeo.
They did spend most of the race then behind Valtteri Bottas, yes, but they were quickest in free practice there, so never, ever trust Friday practice times. I know we've said this as well before, Jamie, that we quite like getting up for a couple of early morning races. Is Sunday night racing a vibe? I want to ask you as a personal question.
Personal question? That's a very personal question. Well, it means I can watch it, which is nice. That's more than most races these days.
Watch it live.
Yeah, watch it live. So I'm happy. I'm okay with it. I think the Baku timing at 12 PM UK was a bit weird. It was kind of like neither here nor there. So, yeah, I kind of like, I mean, if I didn't work on a Sunday, I feel like my favourite would be 2 PM. But, yeah, I like the early morning. I like the Japans, the Australias, where you get up at 6 AM and get bored for 2 hours. And I also like the late races. I think I prefer the exclusivity of getting up early for a race, because it feels like I'm not part of the crowd who watched the whole race.
Fair enough. So you're suggesting then that you should probably move to America, so most races you can get up early for?
I wouldn't like it every week.
No, it's a fair point. I mean, other news to go through. It's been a very, very slow news week, as you can probably tell by listening. Mercedes, Jamie, have said, though, that they do intend on re-signing Lewis Hamilton, probably trying to squash the Charles Leclerc rumours. But still, there's probably a big belief, isn't there, that Charles will take over from Lewis, but it's going to be Lewis's call.
Yeah, I think we said this on the podcast previous few weeks. I think Mercedes are definitely interested in Leclerc, but they're not interested enough to tell Lewis to leave. So
no.
I think it's a bit like what we saw with Aston Martin last season, where like they were trying to re-sign Seb, but they had a backup plan than Alonso when Seb decided what he decided. So I think that's similar for Mercedes. They've obviously got they've got their contingency if Hamilton does call it a day. But that driver lineup of Russell and Leclerc would be fiery, I feel.
I mean, on a Saturday.
It would be incredible.
On a Saturday, nothing's coming close. Sunday you might struggle.
I feel like Max Verstappen might have something to say about that.
He's not a qualifier in my mind.
How many poles has he got? 20.
Not many. 20? For a 2-time world champion? That's awful. Get in the bin, mate. Yeah, it's about 20 or 22, isn't it? something
Max
around
Verstappen
there.
Pole positions. I can't find out. That was anti-climax. Oh, 22.
Can't you just go on his...
There you go.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, 22. I was right. George and Charles would be spicy on a Saturday, but I can't help but wonder just how poor on a Sunday in comparison to that, unless, of course, they've got a car that can just sit at the front again.
Or just in a wall, potentially, on a Sunday as well.
Yeah, that's also true. I'm going to play devil's advocate here for a moment with what you said about Fernando and Seb. Was Seb allowed to stay on, Jamie? Or was he kind of forced out of that team? You know, a Ramco sponsorship. Sebastian Vettel, of course, you know, flying his own flag.
No, I think they were very clear. Mike Crack basically said, we tried to get Vettel. He chose to retire, so we got Alonso instead.
Even though we spent most of last year saying, given the choice out of the two, Alonso every day.
Yeah, but Aston Martin are a team with credibility and loyalty, so they probably didn't want to just...
They've been around for 2 years, and half the drivers are their kid.
But like the team has been around for a long time, and they've always been quite nice, apart from when they sacked Ocon for Stroll. But
I think there's two different eras to this team that you're discussing. You've got the Force India and before, and the Racing Point and after.
Yeah,
that's the truth.
True.
But speaking of Seb, though, Jamie. He's going to be driving some old Formula One cars, which I'm quite looking forward to.
Yeah, should be fun. One of them he actually owns, doesn't he? The Mansell.
Both of them.
Does he own both of them?
They're both from his personal collection.
He's a rich
man. Seb's a Formula One collector. I'm sure he is.
Yeah, so you've got the 92 Williams FW14B with active suspension, gifting Mansell his only world championship. And
the most dominant title of all time.
Yeah, yeah. And Senna's MP4/8, which I've just read out off the notes, and I have no idea what car that is.
1993. It was the last of Senna's McLarens.
Well, there we go. Do we know where he's driving them? Silverstone?
No, Goodwood.
Goodwood, interesting.
You really did not know anything about that.
Anything about this at all. No, so you maybe want to add anything more to that?
I think he's going to be driving them on sustainable fuel as well, which I think is really good. Cool. I'm still a strong believer in sustainable fuel is the future.
Yeah.
Of Formula One and cars in general, because of course you can put sustainable fuel in any car you've already got, and that means in my mind we're going to get V10s back in Formula One.
Well, there's no way they're going full electric, is there? Unless they want to kill Formula E, which would be quite funny.
Right. Like, it might be the way they have to go. We just don't know yet.
Yeah.
We just don't know. Predictions, Jamie. We're really struggling for stuff to talk about this week.
Do you want to do a quiz first?
We can do the quiz first, if you like. That might give me 5 minutes of pain.
Nice. So, as we know, in the UK, this weekend is the coronation of King Charles III. And in Formula One, we have our own Charles. Charles Leclerc, of course.
That is an awful segue, but go on.
So, you have to name me every venue that Charles Leclerc has got a pole position at. And... there's 13 venues, and you're going to have 90 seconds, but I've not got my timer up, so you're going to have...
A few seconds to think.
Yeah, a few seconds to think, and you're going to have 90 seconds starting now.
Bahrain, Australia, Imola, La Castellet, Miami, why am I suddenly blanking on last year's calendar? I play it on F1 all the time. Monaco.
All good so far.
Spain, Barcelona.
Yeah. He didn't actually get Imola, but go carry on.
Baku.
Mm-hmm.
Austria, Red Bull Ring.
Yeah.
Silverstone? No.
No.
Hungaroring? No.
No.
Don't think so. Spa.
Yep.
Singapore. Monza.
Yep.
Mexico? Kota?
Yep. Not Kota.
Japan?
No.
Abu Dhabi?
No. No.
Surely not. Brazil?
No.
trying to think of other tracks he's raced at.
Left?
I'm trying to think of other tracks he's raced at. I've said La Castellet, didn't I?
Yeah.
Yep. I've said Hungary. Russia, Sochi.
7 seconds. Yep, Sochi's won.
Yeah, that's. I'll take 11 out of 13.
I'm not sure if it was 11. It might have been 12. So, you said. Did you say Australia?
I did say Australia.
You said Bahrain?
I said Bahrain.
I don't think you said Miami, which is funny.
I did say Miami.
Oh, you did? Maybe you got the ball then.
I said Miami, definitely.
Okay, okay. Just like I said Hakkinen last week.
Yeah.
No, I think you got all of them.
Yes!
There you go.
13 out of 13.
You completed a quiz for the first time in about 100 episodes.
I will take that. I mean, I basically just went through last year's calendar and then remembered Sochi.
And then remembered 2019 happened with a cheating engine.
That spicy engine, yeah. Madness, madness. I love how people still get upset about that spicy engine. Absolute scenes.
Yeah.
People love to worry about that. But Jamie, I mean, this might be the shortest podcast we've ever done. There is really not a lot to discuss this week before we go to Miami. What's the scores on the doors currently? Did you update the scores?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, so 14 currently for Jamie, 10 to myself. Yes. What are our predictions for the Miami Grand Prix? We don't have to make like 18 predictions this week. It's just pole top three again.
Yeah. Well, of course, this is a street track.
Kind of.
Which means I'm going to put Verstappen on pole and Verstappen on the race win.
And fair enough.
And then I will be extremely boring. Will I? No, I won't. I go Alonso second place and Leclerc P3. I think Perez is having an issue in qualifying, or he's having an issue at the start of the race.
Okay, interesting then.
Have some points on me. There you go.
Thank you. I'm going to be boring as well. Verstappen pole, Verstappen win. Checo P2. But I am going to go. I'm going to be really boring. Charles Leclerc P3. I'm going to be so boring, it's beyond belief.
Do we know the tyres that they've got in Miami?
I think it's C2, 3 and 4.
Okay.
I think.
That should be okay. The tyres last year were pretty dead when it was one-stop race.
It was, pretty boring. But I think, this year it's meant to be a bit better. Quickly as well, actually, Jamie, before we finish off, did you see there was a video on YouTube, a comparison between Max's and Charles' qualifying laps in Baku?
I have not seen that.
Well worth a watch. It's honestly staggering how much more confident Charles Leclerc is on the brakes.
Well, I guess he's going slower.
But he is also going slower, don't get me wrong. But he's going into corners, braking a lot later than Max, and carrying more speed through. It's insane. Like, it just goes to show that how on it Charles Leclerc was on those qualifying laps and how he made the difference, not the car.
Yeah, and Leclerc's always been a good qualifier, especially at Baku.
So, Leclerc, I think, is more of a Mr. Saturday than George Russell, to be honest.
Yeah, if I had to pick one driver to give me a lap in Q3, I would definitely pick Leclerc.
Well, I'd go Senna, but still.
Well, of the current grid.
Fair enough. I suppose I'll allow it.
Also a home race for Logan Sargeant.
Logan Sargeant, first of three home Grand Prix this year.
A real home race because it's in. Is it in Florida? I don't know.
Yeah, it is.
About America.
I'm pretty certain he's born in Miami. Or he was born near Miami.
There you go.
So, Logan Sargeant, home Grand Prix. We wish him good luck. He'll be on the show next week telling us how it was.
He'll be looking to score his first points in Formula One, which won't happen. But
probably not. You never know if it does rain. gotta leave that bit of suspense, Jamie.
Yeah, you know, if it rains. Get everyone
Logan Sargeant is going to be a wet weather merchant. I think, though, this is genuinely going to be the shortest podcast we've ever done. We probably should have just strapped this onto the end of Baku last week. But
although
there would have been something crazy. So, that's just the way the cookie crumbles in the world of Formula One. Thank you all so much for listening, as always. If you have enjoyed, please do make sure you leave a like, get yourself followed, subscribe, give us a 5-star rating if you're on any of your various podcasting platforms as well. And we will be back next Tuesday then to discuss the events of the craziest race of F1 23, the Miami Grand Prix.